Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Collective Clicks podcast. This is your host, Brandon Bateman. And today I'm going to be joined by Garrett Cragen. We're going to talk about our top four AI tools that we're using in digital marketing for real estate investors right now, starting with number four all the way to number one. I think all of these have massive implications in the way that you're doing your marketing and running your business. And I'm excited to dive into everything. How are you doing today, Garrett?
Doing great. How are you?
Hey, fantastic. Thank you. Super excited for today's episode. We are going to be talking all about AI, which I think is something probably nobody's heard about, right?
It's super new, low key. Yeah, very underrated.
We're recording this as of December 2022, right?
Exactly.
Just way ahead of things. I'm excited to talk about this. This is not December 2022. This is August of 2023. And it's been crazy to see what the world of AI tools has looked like over the past, little while. So we're super excited. Garrett, a little bit of context for everybody. He leads a lot of our marketing internally as well as our product. And he's been kind of leading the charge of us adopting, new technologies and helping make them work both for our clients' marketing as well as what we do ourselves. So that's why I'm excited to have you here, because I know you've been messing around with a lot of these different tools and have some pretty cool insights to share. Anything you'd add?
No, I just, what I don't want this podcast to be is just the rote, here's how we use AI. This is going to be very tailored to investors and to this industry. And it's what we're using in our day-to-day for our clients and for our own marketing. So these aren't just things that we've seen about on TikTok or YouTube. These are things that we're using in, you know, day-to-day that are bringing us real value.
Awesome. So without further ado, we have four specific tools that we want to talk about. They are ordered in the order from least cool to most cool or most useful, whatever we want to call it. And we also have an honorable mention. I think it's probably fair that we start with our honorable mention, which is Google's ad platform AI. Any comments on that?
Yeah. It's when people talk about AI right now, what is the biggest focus is the language models. That's kind of what people see as AI right now, because that's the most prominent thing, you know, in the ether is those text-based AI models. But what tends to go under the radar is the AI being used by Google has come a long way from being a very manual platform to a very data-driven and data fueled experience where the people with the best data being fed into Google win, not the people that have necessarily the best keywords and the best bid adjustments. It's who feeds it the best data wins, and that's all fueled by AI.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just like you, I've seen this trend in like language models becoming so popular. And I think it's just because they've improved the most recently. Like they were so, so bad. And then as of less than a year ago, they suddenly got really, really good in comparison. But AI has been better with analyzing numbers than people have for a long time, right? Like no human looks at a data set and can make a decision based on 10,000 different factors. But AI very well can, you know, that's kind of the strength, is it can see correlations across everything all at once. And those models are super popular. And there's sometimes where that's going really well and sometimes where it's going pretty poorly. I know that one thing we talked about in other episodes is the AI models for bidding are really powerful right now. And if you feed them a ton of data and good quality data, then you can really improve your results. And it matters enough so that if you've listened to our podcast for a long time, you're probably rolling your eyes right now because we've talked about that so much. If you're new to the podcast, check out some past episodes all about bidding strategies and bids. But Google's also taken some kind of sour moves towards AI, or at least sour for this industry. You want to talk about those kinds of things, Garrett? Yeah, I'm thinking like performance max campaigns and other things like that.
Yeah. So they've, you were saying, they... Google is in the business of making their platform as accessible as possible to the largest audience it can. And it's trying to do that by taking the levers out of the user's hands and putting it instead into the hands of machines. And that is great if it does what it claims it can do. And so with Google, they've launched, well, I guess they've had this live for what, 2 years now, probably.
So well, they've had iterations of this for a long time,
right? A while.
Like once upon Express. A time you had like manual search campaigns, and then yeah, you have Express, and then did Smart Campaigns come after Express?
Smart Campaigns were a like subset of Express, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then you got PMax and stuff. So it's, I think they've been wanting to do this for a long time. The real trouble being making it actually work seems to be a struggle.
Yeah. And so the way it works is we feed it some audiences and some images and some copy. And then it runs your ads on the entire suite of Google ads placements on YouTube, on display, on search, shopping, if you're in e-commerce, for instance. And its whole goal is to just get you the best cost per action that you're tracking. And so that works great if it's being given the right target, but it's not always able to get the right target. And so it gets a lot of spam at times because like we were saying earlier, it's as good as the data it gets. But that's definitely a drastically improved aspect of Google is their AI. It's just not quite where they claim it is, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also really industry specific. This is why it's so important that you speak to people who are in your industry actively doing this kind of marketing, because what you hear about Google overall doesn't always apply to the real estate industry. From what I've seen, this real estate investment industry kind of lags a little bit behind the rest. Like, I know several people, and I'm sure you know several people as well, doing fantastic with Performance Max campaigns in many different industries. It's actually known as like Google's first actual successful venture into that. But still in this industry, it's just not working. And I think it has something to do with how like this is just such a small niche. Like in the eyes of Google, this is tiny. And Google's AI just doesn't truly understand how you as a real estate investor are different from like a real estate agent, for example, or any other real estate related thing. They just kind of lump them all together. So it's not quite as good at, you know, distinctifying the type of targeting that you're trying to go after and which platforms are working best. And it's just also a really data sparse industry, which makes it really hard for those types of campaigns to perform really well.
Yeah. And I think that having the added intelligence of AI is very powerful in the right hands and with the right inputs. So I wouldn't say that it's an unintelligent platform. I would say that given the right nurture, it can drive much better results than a purely manual campaign ever could. It just needs a lot of attention and skill to help it kind of break through that barrier, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It's kind of interesting because it's sort of counter to like the general idea of AI, which is AI can do what you were doing 90% as well with like 5% of the work, right? But especially with a lot of these things that we're going to talk about today, you can actually exceed what you're able to do otherwise with AI. It's a point where AI, I think, is enabling in a lot of ways. And if you know how to use it properly, then it makes potentially an even better end product. Granted, that usually doesn't come with a lot less work, although sometimes it can be significant. So unless you have anything else to comment on with ad platforms, let's talk about our four biggest tools that we're using right now. Number one is Unbounce. You want to comment on that a little bit? Obviously, Unbounce, not an AI platform, but they've been starting to integrate AI, and in some ways, it's been pretty successful.
Yeah. So in Unbounce, they have two of their features are AI driven The first one is they have the ability to write copy for your landing page with AI and have it fit like your brand, fit like your page's structure, which is cool to kind of like if you're building out like a brand new landing page and just needs like, you know, 80% of the copy written up, it does an awesome job with that, which saves tons of time. But where we've seen the most benefit is with their smart traffic feature. And how that works is you set a goal in Unbounce for what counts as a conversion, be it a link click, a form submission, you know, those kinds of actions are what are going to count in Unbounce. It also can track post click actions with a script that is a little bit more advanced of a tactic, but you can do it. And so how this feature works is you can make, you know, 5, 6, or 10 different variants of your page in Unbounce, and it's going to dynamically learn which pages work best for which audience. So it's not just A/B testing where it sees like which variant does better in general, but it looks at the source of the traffic, the device, who the person is, and it learns which page works better with each audience segment, which saves tons of time. And it helps you reach a point of having a winner a lot faster than doing, several different tests in a row. It all can happen at once and be based on the audience, not just the page. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. And just in case somebody's lost, if you're not familiar with Unbounce, it's basically a landing page specific software. So this is a software that makes pretty fast loading, easy to design, easy to A/B test landing pages. And there's a lot of capabilities that you wouldn't just natively have on your site that are just specifically for landing pages. That's why we do this. And I don't even know how many landing pages we have in Unbounce right now. It's probably like more than 1500 active pages across the internet. Like we take our grandfathered subscription plan and push it to the max. So it's we use this tool a ton. I want to contrast this really clearly with just normal A/B testing, which some people are familiar with, right? Normal A/B testing, you take A and you take B and you put them side by side. You see how one does versus the other. You do a statistical test to say A works better than B or B works better than A after you get some traffic through the page, right? And then you know that one of them is better or not. Here's the downside of a statistical test. Unless you're completely on it all the time, often there's going to be a time period where you kind of know that one variant's better than the other one, but you're still running the one that's not good. And then the other component is that different, like it basically assumes that everything in A and everything in B are kind of the same all the time. When like Garrett mentioned, there's a lot of different things here, right? Like there's people who are coming on different devices. You know, the page looks completely different on a desktop device versus a mobile device, or the type of traffic and the source that they came from, if they're expecting one thing versus another thing, right? So if you use these predictive models, they can take all of that data into account and dynamically deliver not just the best page, but the best page for that specific person. Right. So it's a different level of optimization. It moves into a realm of analytics called predictive analytics rather than inferential analytics, right? Where inferential analytics, the goal is to basically test A versus B and be able to understand, does A or B work better? In predictive, we don't really care which one works better. We just want to dynamically predict which one's going to work better in every individual scenario to have the best end result, which does match a lot of what we're trying to accomplish with marketing. And it's kind of how, if you think about it, it's kind of how ad testing is working within most ad platforms now too. You know, in Google ads, if you're going to have like multiple responsive ads in an ad group, or even multiple headlines in a responsive ad, or in Facebook, if you're going to use a dynamic ad or have several ads within a single ad set, this is kind of like A/B testing's pretty much like dead when it comes to digital marketing. There's so little of it happening compared to this more dynamic predictive type of testing.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's awesome. So Unbounce, cool tool, getting even cooler. Let's talk about the next one, AnyWord.
Okay. Yeah. So AnyWord is a copywriting AI platform, like the ones that we know and love, Hemingway, Jasper, you know, all of those tools that help you to write at scale. But what's cool about AnyWord is it scores the copy that you write based on how it expects it to perform to your target audience. So you can give it an audience, age, interests, income, and then it can score your copy from 0 to 100 based on how likely it thinks your audience is to engage with that copy. And so that's the first thing that it does. That's powerful. And then the second thing it does is it allows you to integrate it with your ad accounts, so Google and Facebook, and then it can pull in that data to see which of your ads have the best performance, and then it can use that to help you make even better ad copy based on your target audience and what's worked well historically in your account. So the more you test, the better it is. And the audience piece of it, I think, is very powerful because most other AI writing tools don't like store that kind of information. It has to be like in your prompt every time, like write this for, you know, homeowners that are wanting a cash offer and then do it. But this will like have that saved all the time. And so it's always analyzing it with that in mind. And we've been using this for our clients and for our own marketing. And it writes better copy than I ever could on my own in seconds. And even though it's not perfect, it saves hours of planning and ideating and edits and gets me almost there in minutes.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is it can also just, it's not just saving you time, but it's considering more factors than you could ever consider in your brain, right? As humans, we're good at like comparing like 2, 3, 4 things, but all the performance over the past 2 years of the 80 something ads that we've tested, we can't like keep all those insights in our brain and use that to make good stuff, which is so cool to me, because you look at tools like ChatGPT and they're so good at just using like what's on the internet to optimize things, but they don't have any first party data. They don't know what's actually like worked for you and what hasn't. I think that feedback loop is so crazy powerful. Does this work with Facebook ads and Google ads, or just one of them?
Both. Yep.
Yeah. That.
It also pulls in your copy on your website and mm-hmm. helps you fix that copy as well based on what you're seeing work in your ads as well. So that's just one other area that it can impact is your Google ads, your Facebook ads, and your site performance.
Which is a feedback loop that's just not very strong usually, right?
Yeah.
I think most companies just aren't adjusting their website copy based on what they're seeing with ad performance. So that's awesome. Any other comments on AnyWord, or should we move on?
Let's go.
All right, Opus.
Opus. Okay, so there's a big... So this last week I went to a mastermind and I heard a lot of investors talking about the benefits of posting on social media, in particular as a way to secure capital for purchases. And I know that it takes a ton of time to make that content, edit it, get it ready for social. And it also is an expensive skill in most cases. I hear a lot of investors are having this done by VAs, which if you find one that works, it's fine. But Opus is cool because you can... So how it works is you upload an image or a video, and it listens to the whole transcript. It finds the clips that it thinks are going to have the best chance of going viral, and it gives you between 10 and 15 clips from that longer video that you made, be it a podcast or you know, like some kind of a longer video, and it has them organized by their odds of going viral. And it also says how it thinks, like why it thinks it'll go viral, and then what could be changed to give it a better chance of going viral. And it adds captions, it adds emojis. It also lets you go in and edit the font size, the color to match your branding, and it's free. And it works in about 15 minutes. It pulls all those clips, and it also auto focuses on faces, which is crazy. So if you're like walking around and moving, it'll crop to always keep your face in the middle. So it's crazy powerful, and it's free. And I feel like it's a really underrated tool. I'm seeing it mentioned more and more online as a tool, but it's still free for now. So I would jump on before they roll out their paid model, which I think will be happening pretty soon. But even paid, it's still a huge value.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it makes it like as easy for your average real estate investor as just go on a few podcasts, feed that into the tool, and then post the clips on your social media, right? Mm-hmm. You just need kind of like the origin of the content, but all that in between part gets taken care of, which is insane that that's so much easier, because we've spent at least 1,000, probably multiple thousands per month just on like that one piece, and it can literally be replaced by a completely free tool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's insane. Okay, so to jump into the last one, this is the number one most interesting AI tool when it comes to digital marketing for real estate right now. With all that hype, Garrett, why don't you talk about ChatGPT's Code Analyzer?
Yeah, so this is a recent addition to the paid version of GPT, where it lets you upload sheets or CSVs of data, and it can analyze. So here's what it can do. And in their own marketing, OpenAI, the like parent company, has said that their goal is to have Code Analyzer be essentially a junior data analyst for your team, for what is it, $15 a month. And so how it works is it can analyze a massive data set. It can clean it for you. It can turn text fields into number fields. It can identify trends and correlations, and it's wild. So as an example of how we used it, we have a huge data set of all of our clients, as far as like where they work, their market size, their number of agents, the exit tactics that they use, all kinds of stuff, and then their lifetime value for us. And we had this plugin find which attributes of our clients had the strongest correlation to LTV to help us maximize that and build out our ideal client profile from that data set. And it did it in seconds, and it gave me an R coefficient, which is basically like how strong the ties between that attribute and the target of, maximum customer value. And we did that in an afternoon. And so for an investor, if you can get, a data set of your properties, where they are, the age, the number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms, the bedroom to bathroom ratio, like all kinds of attributes, and then their deal spread, you could run this type of analysis to find which home attributes are tied to your biggest spreads. And I mean, that kind of like of data analysis is unheard of and so powerful. I don't think we quite understand yet how much that can impact your business like strategy.
Yeah, I think the real biggest benefit is that to do that kind of stuff, you used to need to be a data analyst, right? And I think you still need like some of those skills, right? Because like tools are going to mislead you from time to time, and you have to understand the difference between correlation and causation and stuff like that. But just the sheer volume of insights that you can drive and then know that you can dive deeper into those things is insane, right? It's just, it would have taken you 6 months to gather all the information and understand all the different correlations. You can get that done in an afternoon. And then from there, you could spend a lot of your time like going deeper, more refined, understanding it in a, on a better level. It's insane. What you can do. And I don't know, I envision a world where spreadsheets, like you almost won't have to use them at some point, because this can be such a powerful method of, making that data analyze and getting insights from it. It's insane, because it's the numbers analyze, like the statistical capabilities have been there in AI for a long time, but the ability to bridge that gap between that and like driving insights has never really been there in AI until just recently.
Yeah. And I think that it's just beginning to kind of like scratch the like surface of what's possible. And when you can take that data, like insight that it finds, and then tie that to like truly actionable business tactical changes, that's when it really starts to be impactful. It's not just cool, like knowing that, like, you know, this attribute of a client, like for us means a better client, but how that can change how we market, how we sell our messaging. That's where it gets really, really valuable. And I think that's where I think AI in general is going to change things. Is it's cool, right? And it's buzzy, but I think where there's real value is when its outputs actually are usable in your business day-to-day operations.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've appreciated about some of the things you shared. It's not just look how cool this is, but every single one of these options has potential to grow your business and change your strategy. And I think that's way cooler than just being cool, right? Because it's like, I think AI for a little bit, for a lot of people, is just kind of like a party trick almost. Like, oh, that's really cool. Like, I'm amazed that a computer can do that. But what are you going to do about it? You know, where are you going to save costs in your business because of this? Where are you going to shift your strategy because of this? Like those things matter a ton. And I've appreciated all of your insights. That's it for this week's episode of the Collective Clicks podcast. For everybody listening, I will see you next week.